turn this on before I start trying to talk. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone that's here today. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't we all stand today? And let's just open in prayer, shall we? Precious Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we can be here today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, you would lead and guide, Lord. Have your way, Lord, as we explore what you would say to us today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. If you've got your Bibles, I want to go to Acts chapter 15. We're going to continue on with the series that we started last week, Every Tribe and Every Nation. Amen. Because we want to be a church that reaches our community. We want to reach everyone we can with the gospel. The church should not be an inclusive environment. Sorry, an exclusive environment, rather. It should be inclusive. We should be welcoming to everybody, no matter what their background, no matter what their story is. Amen. Amen, Bo. I agree. Amen. And so, God, or Jesus, I should say, we spoke about last week, welcomed everyone from all backgrounds, all walks of life. Amen. He didn't judge where they came from. He didn't demand that they, he didn't say they could stay the same. He still expected change. Amen. Amen. But he was welcoming. He allowed people to come to him. Amen. And so we're going to continue on. We're going to talk about overcoming prejudice today. And I think, again, given everything that's happening in our country, everything that we see happening in the world, it's important as a church to discuss what does the Bible say about these things. Amen. And how does this apply to our life? Acts chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 8. Say amen when you're there. Acts chapter 15, verse 8. It says this, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them, and it's talking about the Gentiles here, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Amen. It's interesting when you look at the book of Acts, and I want you to consider for a moment how Peter felt. That particular afternoon as he lay down for his afternoon siesta. As he dozed off, he began to dream, and he saw in a dream a net that came down from heaven. And in that net was all manner of animals and creatures and things that the Jewish people were forbidden to eat. And the net came down, and a voice came and said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Come on, have something to eat, Peter. You're hungry. You need to eat this. And Peter said, no, Lord, I don't do that. I'm a Jew. This is not me. This is not who I am. I don't do that, okay? So just don't let me do this. This is not who I am. And the dream was repeated another two times, for a total of three times. And the voice said to Peter, what God has called clean, don't you call unclean. Amen. And as Peter woke, I imagine he was really confused by that. Have you ever been confused about things that God has told you? And I imagine Peter was really confused. Lord, what are you trying to say here? What does this mean? We can go do whatever we want to do, eat whatever we want to eat. Do the Jewish laws not matter anymore? What are you trying to tell me, God? And as Peter was thinking about these things, the Bible says that there was a knock on the door down below. And there was three men standing at the door saying, we have come from a centurion by the name of Cornelius, a Gentile. He has asked for you to come and to preach the words of life. And so Peter understood, okay, that is what this vision was about. It was repeated three times. There's three men, three Gentiles on my doorstep, and they're saying, I want you to come and preach the gospel. And it's interesting when you look at Peter preaching the gospel to Cornelius and to his household. It almost feels to me like Peter was surprised when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Because the Bible says that Peter was still preaching, and while he was still speaking, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit fell on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit before they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And it's interesting because Peter was surprised by that, but then he cast his mind back to this vision that, hang on, if God has called them clean, I can't call them unclean. If God has said that the Gentiles are worthy of receiving the Holy Spirit, then I should not be saying they're unworthy, amen. And Peter then decided, well, if they've received the Holy Spirit like we have, then we need to get them baptized in Jesus' name, amen. And so that's what Peter did. And Peter was the one who opened up that door to allow the Gentiles to come in to the church, you know. But God was determined to lead the church into new territory. God was determined not to allow the church to just be a Jewish church, a church of just one type of person. Can I tell you today, God is the same today. He does not want our church just to be a church of one type of people to exclude all others. He doesn't want us to be a church where other people don't feel like they're welcome here. It should be welcoming. God has opened the door to everybody. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about walls around wells. How many people are you familiar with the story of the woman at the well? Samaritan woman. Jesus, the Bible says, went out to Samaria. And that in itself is quite amazing. The Jewish people held deep-seated prejudice against the Samaritan people. In the Jewish culture, they were very much against the Samaritans. You see, the Samaritans, they were a mixed race of people who had intermarried with the Assyrians centuries before. See, the Assyrian army came, you remember, the kingdom of Israel. They took them out. They replaced some of the population with Assyrian people, and the Jewish people intermarried with the Assyrian people. And so the pure Jewish people looked down on these people who had associated with the Assyrians many centuries ago. And so it was deeply, deeply ingrained in the Jewish culture to be against the Assyrians. The Samaritans, as a result of that, they had their own version of the Hebrew Bible that they read. It was different to the Jewish Bible. It had a lot of similarities, but there were differences as well. The Samaritans had a different temple that they would worship at. Why? Because the Jewish people would not let them go to the Jerusalem temple. They were Samaritans. They were unclean. They were not allowed in. Amen? And yet, despite all of this, Jesus decides, I'm going to go to Samaria. I wonder what the disciples thought of this. Hold up, Jesus. We don't like those people over there, remember? We don't agree with them. They're different to us. But yet Jesus decided, no, we're going to go to Samaria. And so they went to Samaria. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was at Jacob's well. And when we read it in the scripture, it also tells us that it's noontime. It's the middle of the day. It's the hottest part of the day. And the best time to draw water from the well was in the morning. Drawing water was hard work. You know, we take it for granted. We go to the kitchen, we turn a tap on, and we've got water. It's amazing, right? But back then, people would have to go to the well with a bucket and pull water out of the well and then walk all the way back to their house. And to do that in the middle of the day was hard work. It was hot. The bucket of water was heavy. Amen. And yet, in the middle of the day, as Jesus, weary from the road, sat and rested by Jacob's well, the Bible tells us that a Samaritan woman came to draw water. If you got your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 4. And we'll read verse 7. So Jesus is sitting at this well. He's hot. He's dusty. It's the middle of the day. He's tired. He's got no bucket to draw water from. He's at a well, but he can't get a drink. And yet this Samaritan woman comes in verse 7 to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Four words. Give me a drink. We look at that in English and we think, okay, yeah, so Jesus is thirsty. He asked for a drink. Big deal. You know, I ask a drink for Sister Janie all the time. Hey, Dal, can you get me a glass of water? Right? We read that in English and we skip over, and perhaps we don't realize the impact of those four words that this Jesus spoke to this woman. In those four words, Jesus broke so many cultural taboos and so many Jewish don't do that rules. He spoke to a woman he didn't know, a Samaritan woman of all things. When you didn't know a woman in the Bible culture, you just didn't talk to them. It's not your place. You don't talk to them. And yet Jesus spoke to her. Not only that, she was a Samaritan. Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman. Jewish people were so prejudiced against Samaritans. If they didn't have to talk to them, they wouldn't. They would prefer not to even talk to them. And yet Jesus addressed her. Samaritan woman would have been quite happy if Jesus had said nothing. So I imagine she was very surprised when Jesus, who was obviously Jewish, said, "Give me a drink. You're speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan." But it goes even deeper than that, because Jewish people consider the Samaritans unclean. Amen. And so when Jesus says, "Give me a drink," he is risking being ceremonially unclean, because he is drinking water that has been touched by a Samaritan. And yet Jesus still said, "Give me a drink." He broke through those prejudices. He broke through those cultural customs, because Jesus engaged her like a close friend. Jesus spoke to her like he had known her all his life. Like he knew exactly who she was, exactly what her story was. Like they'd been best buddies growing up as kids. Jesus spoke to her with familiarity. Just said, "Give me a drink." Jesus broke so much when he did this. Jews would not normally risk such an encounter. And the woman was shocked by this as well. The woman was shocked by this as well. And she was quick to remind Jesus of all the walls that were between them. She was quick to say, she said in verse 9, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" She says, "Hold up, Jesus, stop. There's a wall here. You're not even meant to talk to me. Why are you talking to me? Why are you asking me for a drink? What's going on?" She immediately tried to put up a wall in front of her and Jesus. But it's interesting, because Jesus pushed through the potential conflicts that was there. I don't know, maybe he felt uncomfortable. Maybe we would feel uncomfortable. "Oh, you're right. That's right. I'm not meant to talk to you. I'm not meant to like you. I'm not meant to agree with you. We're different. I shouldn't talk to you." But Jesus pushed right through the wall that this woman raised up, and instead shifted his focus and her focus from the walls to the well that was between them. And he used a real example to speak of a spiritual reality. He said to the well, he said, "This well, if you knew who was asking you, 'Give me a drink,' you would say to me, 'Can I have a drink?' Because the water that I give you is everlasting and will spring up for eternity. Amen. And it will never run dry. Amen." And by speaking to a physical need, he opened up the door to address her spiritual need. And as a result, the woman began to lower her defenses, even though she might not have fully understood who Jesus was referring to just yet. But from her perspective, well, who wouldn't want everlasting water? I wouldn't have to come out to this well in the middle of the hot day to draw water to take home. It'd be so much easier. My life would be great. It would be like having a tap in my house that I can just turn on whenever I wanted to turn on. Amen. So Jesus had her attention. In verse 15 of John chapter 4, the woman said, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And then Jesus brings up the elephant in the room. You heard that expression? The elephant in the room. The thing that everybody knows but nobody wants to talk about. Jesus says to her, "Go, get your husband, and come here." I wonder how she felt about that. She didn't realize that Jesus knew. But Jesus knew she was out at the well in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, for a reason. She came out in the middle of the day because she wanted to be alone. Her community did not want her. Her community didn't love her. Her community had shunned her. All the other women, they came out early in the morning when it was cool to get water. But this woman had been shunned by her community. She came out there in the middle of the day for a reason. And we may wonder why Jesus would bring it up. Why would Jesus bring up the fact, go get your husband, when he knows what's going on? But think about it. Jesus was leading this woman to a surprising revelation that he was the Messiah. And he was leading her down. And by bringing it up, he was pointing out to her that no wall of sin could separate her, nor could it separate anyone else from the well of life that he was talking about. This woman had tried to raise up a wall of religion, a wall of prejudice, and said, well, this is why you can't talk to me, Jesus. And Jesus broke through that and said, you know who I am, I can give you everlasting water. And then Jesus brought up the wall of sin and said, before you even think about the fact that you've got sin in your life and you're wondering about who I am, let me bring it up and tell you, go and get your husband. We can still work our way through this. Amen. No wall of sin can separate her. And so immediately, and isn't it funny? I think we try to do the same. When God brings up something in our life, or we hear a word from the Lord, or the preacher preaches something that just gets us in the, oh, I didn't really want you to talk about that, pastor, kind of way, we try and bring up another wall, don't we? This is what this woman did. There was one wall that was left between them. She had tried to raise the wall of culture and the wall of prejudice between Jews and Samaritans. Jesus had brought up the wall of sin because he wanted to break through that. And the woman, because she's uncomfortable, immediately brings up another wall that she thought of, which was worship, and said, well, you Jews are different to us. You worship in Jerusalem, and we worship on this mountain. And I'm not sure who's right, Jesus. She's changing the topic. She's changing the focus. At that moment, Jesus had a choice he could make. Would he allow their conversation to be derailed by an argument over worship? Ah, well, you see what? Actually, you Samaritans are completely wrong. Jerusalem is the true temple. We Jews have it right, and you're wrong. Jesus didn't do that, though, did he? He refused to allow a wall of religion and a wall of worship to separate him and her. He shifted her focus to draw closer. And the point of this was that Jesus was showing us that it's not about winning every debate. And it's not about making sure everyone knows that we're correct and that, you know, we're the ones that are right and we've got everything going good in our life. And, you know, our goal is not to correct people's misconceptions about God. This is an important thing about evangelism, an important thing about building a church of all tribes and all nations. Our goal is not to win every single debate. Our goal is to make disciples. We don't have to convince people that we've got the truth. We know we've got the truth. Let's just preach it, lead people to the truth, lead people to discover the Lord, and they will find it for themselves, amen, as we build a relationship with them. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus' actions showed us that winning a debate and correcting every misconception a person might have is not our goals. Guiding people to know God better is what will help us overcome walls of prejudice that get built. Look at this, John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus was saying, no, there's something greater than just getting called up in a debate between do we worship at Jerusalem or do we worship in this mountain in Samaria? Jesus was saying, no, you need to learn to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. The point is that Jesus did not shy away from confrontation, but the tone of the conversation and the eyes of Christ didn't hold any condemnation. This is an important thing, and this is why we need to have love and care for people, because when we lead people to God, we don't do it from a position of judgment. We don't do it from a position of condemnation. We do it from a position of, I've got something amazing, and I want to share it with you. And this is what Jesus had. He said, I've got everlasting water. I am the Messiah. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I want to share that with you, because I'm not just the Jewish Messiah. I'm going to be the Messiah for the whole world. And so Jesus broke through all the walls of prejudice that were in place so he could show this woman who he was. Amen. Every point in that dialogue could have been a point for the discussion to end. Still, the woman wanted to talk to Jesus more, even when he confronted her limited views of the world and God. Jesus showed us that when we choose to argue over walls of prejudice that divide us, then we distract from the well of life that we can share with other people instead. Because that is the aim of the church, is not to build walls between us and others around us, but our aim is to share the well of life. It is, if it's everlasting water, it means there's enough for everybody. There's satisfaction for everybody. There's enough Holy Spirit for everybody. There's enough of God's presence for everybody, amen? And so we don't focus on the walls. We move past the walls and we say, we're not going to build any walls in our church. No, all are welcome in our church because we have the well of life, and that is where our focus needs to be on. Amen. When we argue over walls and when we argue over prejudices that separate us from others, we distract them. And here's the thing, we might be on the right side of the wall. Did you ever think about that? We might be on the right side of the wall. We might have the right revelation. We might be correct. We might be 100% correct. But if we are standing by the wall, arguing with others, we are as far away from the well as the people who we have differences with. Amen? Amen. Instead, Jesus showed us how to focus on the well. And as Jesus worked his way through, with love through the walls that this woman kept putting up. There's walls between us, Jesus. We can't do this. Eventually, this woman understood Jesus is the Messiah. And she went back into her community and she said, come and see a man who told me all I ever did. Is this not the Messiah? Because Jesus shifted the focus away from all the walls that the woman kept trying to build, instead focusing on the well of life, the everlasting water that he had to offer to all, a great revival broke out in that town. People came because they wanted to know Jesus. The Bible says in John 4:41 that many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Because of Jesus' willingness to not focus on the walls, to push past the walls, and to focus on the wells, so many people came to know who Jesus was, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Brothers and sisters, as a church, we have to be the same. There are so many walls of prejudice in society that if we allow them to, they will divide us and they will separate us from each other and from the well of life. We have to put our focus on who Jesus is and what he is to us. And when other people come in, they might not look like us, they might not sound like us, they might come from a different culture or a different background. They might be full of sin in their life. There might be a host of reasons why we could say they're not worthy of the well of life, but it is not our job to say who is worthy. It is our job to bring them to the Lord and allow him to get to know them better. Amen. We cannot allow walls to separate us. We cannot allow walls to separate us. The disciples returned from getting lunch. See, the disciples weren't even here. The disciples had gone into the city in Samaria. They were looking for lunch. Something halal, no doubt. Something that met their Jewish culture and customs. And you could almost imagine as they're walking through the town, trying to walk carefully in case someone touched them or they touched something that could be unclean and something that might separate them and disturb their holiness. And okay, boys, we've got to find some lunch and it's got to be halal and it's got to be good. And we've got to make sure it's not contaminated. And they come back to Jesus and they've got lunch. And I imagine they're quite excited. They're like, hey, Jesus, guess what? We got lunch and it's halal. We didn't even get to touch anyone who was unclean. This was amazing. We kept all the walls around us nice and secure, and nobody came inside, and we didn't touch anybody, and everything's good, Jesus. We got lunch. And Jesus turns around and says, I'm not hungry. I'm not hungry. Because Jesus had something else that was more interesting to him. And that was to break down the walls of prejudice that were built and the harvest that was in front of them. The disciples were concerned about finding kosher food in a Samaritan village, and they were baffled when Jesus was not impressed with what they did. Jesus was already eating the food of the kingdom. Jesus was already eating what was important, the harvest that was coming. That's what sustained him. That's what's kept going. And so Jesus encouraged his disciples to push beyond their cultural prejudices to see the people that were in front of him. It's harvest time, and there was an opportunity to be had. See, the problem when we focus on walls and when we're busy building walls, we lose sight of the harvest. We lose sight of the people who are hungry, the people who need to meet Jesus, the people who are crying out saying, oh, I need something in my life. Something's not right. Won't somebody please help me? And when we focus on the walls, we miss the opportunity to minister. And this is what had happened to the disciples. He urged them to push past. And of course, Jesus told them this. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Samaria. It's like Jesus is calling back saying, hey, remember when we went to Samaria and we started a work back there and we helped that woman, and that woman went and witnessed to her whole town, and her whole town came and they knew who I was. When you receive the Holy Spirit, it's going to give you power to overcome the prejudice, to overcome what others think about you, for reaching out beyond your wall and beyond your community background and beyond your culture. Amen. It's going to give you power to be witnesses over everybody. And when Peter preached, he said the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was for everybody. He said the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's not up to you and it's not up to me to decide who is called. It's up to God. God does the calling. And my Bible tells me the gift is for all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. My friends, we have no right to build walls of prejudice between ourselves and the world, between anybody else who is hungry. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to tear down those walls and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. Amen. I don't know if the disciples fully realized the ramifications of what Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Okay, God, we've got that. Judea. Yeah, we can do that. Samaria. Okay. Well, I do remember, Jesus, you went there. And the uttermost parts of the world. Wow. Can just imagine their minds going, boom. I can't really think of that right now, Jesus. We're just going to focus on building our Jewish church. The Samaritans received the Spirit, but it took Acts chapter 10 before the disciples realized that the Gentiles could receive it as well. Perhaps they were thinking, well, the Samaritans have some Jewish blood in them, so okay, maybe that's why they can come into the church and they can be a part of it. But the Gentiles are completely separated. Completely separated. But to be a church that reached the nations, to expand the mission beyond centuries of Jewish prejudice against Gentiles, God challenged the cultural biases of Peter, through a vision on a rooftop. And as a result, Cornelius's entire household received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we must expand the mission of the church beyond these four walls, beyond just our community and beyond just our family, beyond the people who live like us and sound like us, to everyone we can. We must expand the mission to everyone we can. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a life-giving well without walls, and we have no right to build walls where God has put none. Someone say amen. Amen. Later on, the church had heated debates about the inclusion of Gentiles. Early on, Peter was an audacious proponent of including the Gentiles because of his experience. Peter challenged generations of tradition and history, declaring that the Gentiles were accepted by the grace of God and not by following the customs of the law. Later on, of course, we know he struggled with that tension, but God raised up Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he was a fierce defender against those who would have prejudice against the Gentile church. But Peter deserves credit for allowing the leading of the Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, to overcome his prejudice and lead the Jewish Christians to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ in the world. Bible says, I'm going to say it again, we shall receive power. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to reach out to that person who we don't know, to reach out to that person from a different background, to see a need, and to minister with love and compassion and care, to tear down walls that people try to build between us. As we get ready to wrap up this morning, the largest farm, the largest station in Australia that runs cattle is the Anna Creek Station. It's in South Australia. It covers a space of 1,977,000 acres. That's slightly larger than the entire nation of Israel in one farm. Turn to your neighbor, say, that's a big farm. That's a big farm. They run sheep and they run cattle. The problem with a farm that big is, can you imagine how much it would cost to put a fence around all your paddocks when you've got a farm that's 1,977,000 hectares big? Can you imagine you would spend your entire life repairing fences? You would finish going all the way around repairing the fences and get back to where you started like 2 years ago, and you'd have to repair that fence. You'd spend your life just repairing fences. Never mind all the fences in between it. So here's the thing about Anna Creek Station. They don't have fences. There's no fences there. What? No fences? How can you have no fences when you've got cattle and sheep? Won't they just wander off? Won't they go? What happens? No, the people who run that farm understand something important. They realize that if they put a borehole, a well, that the animals can drink from, then the cattle and the animals and the sheep won't stray from the well. They will stay near the water because they understand if we leave the water, we're going to die and we need water. So rather than build fences, they built wells everywhere they could. And so the animals are safe and they're secure because they stay by the water. Brothers and sisters, the message that I'm trying to give you today as a church is we ought not to be building fences. We ought to be building wells. And we ought to be saying, there's no fences here. You can come. We're not blocking anybody out. We're not trying to keep anyone out. You can come and drink and live and prosper and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can know who God is. Amen. We need to be well builders, church, not fence builders. It's so easy to build fences. This culture will tell you, oh, you need to have this fence. And the country will tell you, oh, you got to have this fence. And you can't trust those people. And those people are always wrong. And those people always take everything. And those people are bad people. And the world will tell you, build a fence here, build a fence here. These people are like that. Put them in that area and you're in this area and put a fence. My friends, we've got to tear down fences. We've got to tear down walls. Let's get the focus off of what divides us from the world, and let's get our focus on what we can share with the world. And that is the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Why don't we all stand this morning? The truth of the matter is that every single one of us make judgments. They happen in split seconds. You know, someone makes a first impression, something like within 7 seconds of meeting you. That's why how we treat guests when they visit us is so important. Amen? Because within 7 seconds, they've decided if they're going to bother coming back. Wow. Crazy, huh? But we do that as humans. We judge so quickly. This is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit active in our life. We can't tear down fences. It's not in our human nature. We try and build walls. We try and build fences. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us tear down fences, to make a difference, amen? We need the love of God. That's what we really need. Oh, it's easy to love your neighbor when the neighbor is just like you. It's easy to love the people in your close family, in your culture group. You understand them. You get them. There's so much in common. But what about that person who's completely different to you? That's where you need the love of God. That's where God's love can come in, shed abroad in our heart, and it'll make the difference in people's lives. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's just pray. Precious Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time, Lord God. Lord, you are challenging us as a church through this series, oh Lord, to not build walls between us, oh God. It's so easy to do, Lord God. Lord, every single one of us, Lord, myself included, we've been guilty, Lord God, of putting up walls, Lord God, barriers between us, Lord, and just resting behind them and going, well, you know, we can't tear that down. We're too different. We're not the same. They don't understand. They just don't get me. So I'm going to keep my wall. I'm going to be safe, Lord God. But Lord, could it be that we at the same time wall ourselves off from the life-giving well that you have for us? Lord, as a church, God, help us to tear down walls, oh Lord, to tear down fences that people would construct for us, Lord, that we would construct, that our family would build for us, that our culture says we have to have, Lord, to tear them down, rip them down, Lord, and get the focus, Lord, on you, Lord God, the living water, Lord God, that flows abundantly, Lord God. So, Lord, everyone can come. Anyone is welcome to come and drink and get to know you, Lord. Father, we recognize, God, we can't do this in our own strength, Lord God. So, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to come alive in our heart, Lord God, to quicken our spirit, Lord God. Give us power, Lord, to be witnesses, Lord, not just in our Jerusalem, not just in our Judea, but in our Samaria, in the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, we need your strength. Help us to show your love to all we meet, Lord. Father, we love you, Lord. We surrender the rest of this day into your hands. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. We'll have our main service start in a few minutes. Praise the Lord.